are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so we're reviewing the ninth chapter of The Great Hope. We're going to be joined on the line by Pastor Marvin Radihepi to guide us through the chapter and what lessons we get from this. We started this on Tuesday, and so we'll be concluding with a few more lessons that we get from this chapter, right? We know that hope is a call to action. We're talking about real hope, right? That's the title of the chapter. Real hope is a call to action, and we know that it shines bright in dark places. We're talking about all of that, and we're also going to talk about the climax of our hope as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. What is that climax? My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me once again.
Thank you for making time to speak with us this morning and guiding us once again into this chapter of The Great Hope entitled Real Hope. Let's get straight into it, Pastor. Maybe let's start with a word of prayer before we continue.
All right. Let's pray. Our compassionate and merciful Father, Lord, who is not willing that any man should perish, but all should come to repentance and have eternal life. We're inviting you this morning, Lord, seeking for your divine intervention that whatever we do, whatever we say, may you be glorified. But at the end of the day, Lord, we seek your salvation that we be saved. We ask all knowing that we'll receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so we're talking about real hope, Pastor, and we know that real hope is not passive. It's not, we don't just sit back and wait for good things to happen. We're not just sitting back waiting for heaven to come down, but it's about living with purpose. Now, please speak to us a little bit about what's our responsibility? What is the expectation on us now that we have this real hope? What is that action that we've been called to?
Okay. You know, the things about faith is that God is expecting something from us. God is not expecting us to just sit down and a miracle will just happen. Somebody said a miracle only takes place when the divine power has exhausted the human part in us. That's where now we see a miracle. When God has seen that the human effort has just extended reached its limit, that's where God will perform a miracle. In essence, we are saying a real hope is not just you be idly, but doing something at the end of the day. We may say, meeting God halfway, though it may sound like we are doing something on behalf of God, but rather it is on our side that we don't have to sit down and expect a miracle, but we ought to do something on our side.
And that's because we believe that Jesus is coming.
Yes. That's the climax of our hope. The bottom line is that Jesus is coming again, and therefore, that's the key point.
Yeah.
We'll
talk a little bit about that climax of our hope. We'll talk about that in just a moment, because I think that's a really beautiful part of the chapter that I think we need to focus a little bit more on. Before we get to that, let's talk about how hope affects us in those dark times and the darkest places, right? Because we know that some of the greatest testimonies of faith, they come from the worst moments in history, right? Whether that's the martyrs in the flames or prisoners singing in cells, believers clinging to Christ when there's nothing else left. They're not fairy tales. These are real reminders of real people that real hope transcends suffering. Speak to us a little bit about how hope gets us through those kinds of experiences and what that really looks like.
Okay. Hope is something that will give you a roadmap. It will give you a green light to show you the way, that narrow path, when you are on the other side or the dark corner of your life. You know, when you are confined to a place in the darkest corner, whereby you don't seem, you seem like everything is shattered. Everything, it seems like you don't have anything to hope for. Then you look down upon, when you look upwards, you see something sort of a light. The only light that comes through that huge darkness is the hope that we are expecting, especially from a Christian who is looking forward for the second coming of Jesus. Through tribulations and hardship that we go through, we can just hinge on Christ as the one who gives us the ultimate hope. Through the struggle that we go through, we know for sure, like we gave an example of the martyrs, some people who gave their life to Christ boldly, and they were not beating about the bush. They stood with great passion, saying, "We only stand for God," despite of the circumstances. And by the way, they were sentenced to death. But even through death, when you are facing death, you still say, "No, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will not be shaken. I will just go through." People around you will not see what you are seeing, right? You remember when Stephen was stoned, just to give you an example. People around him, they never understood what he went through. They were just heaping stones on him. But he was able to say, "I see God in heaven. The heavens are open." So that's the thing. That's something, it's an apple that can only be tasted by us because we know what it feels like. It's a tangible and personal experience. Yes.
Beautiful. And then when I think about, you know, what prophecy tells us to expect in the last days and the difficulty and the distress that we're going to face, there's this part in this chapter that says, the time of distress and anguish ahead of us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, hunger, a faith that will not crumble even though it is tested severely. And I think that that's where the hope comes in. When you know what is ahead of you and you have that hope, you're holding on to that hope, that's what gives you the power to endure the difficulty that we're about to get into. Some of us have started enduring it in small measures right now. You know, they're small, they're little inconveniences that we experience in our world today. But they're not anywhere close to the distress that is waiting for us, that's coming up ahead of us. And if we don't have that hope, we won't make it.
That's very true. If you want to experience that, go to do hospital ministry, go to prison ministry. That's where you see that people, they are suffering. I have that privilege because my wife is a nurse, and sometimes we'll spend a lot of time talking about those who are bedridden, those who are like hopeless, and how cancer and all ailments that are not curable, how humanity is so distressed to a point whereby some people, they even ask about the existence of God. That's where as Christians we chip in and we show people that no, it's not all about all these things. Yeah, we may not tell them lies or know the truth that it will be, or sometime even it will not be okay even to the point of death. But our hope is beyond the grave.
Amen.
That's what we are saying. Our hope is beyond the grave. We look forward even after we die, we know that indeed the distress, the tribulation, whatever we go through in this world is only temporary. Everything, it will be fine. If not now, because of course we have to show people that even God cares, even in our current situation. It's not like we are saying God is so concerned about things that are eternal and then he neglected us. No, he still cares in our current situation. But we still say, this world is not going to be pure as we go through. It's getting worse and worse in terms of trouble.
Beautiful. And then that leads us now to the best part of the chapter, and the great hope that we have, the second coming, the climax of our hope. And we're reminded that you know, because in this world, sometimes we're waiting for the economy to get better. We're waiting for a better leader for the country, you know, the politics to change and things like that. Waiting for a king, but we're promised something even better than that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. The second coming is a global event that is going to take place, and unfortunately, it affects everyone. Sometimes I know it may not sound good to other religions, those who have different religions apart from. But we are saying it's a global event, and it's, and Jesus Christ is coming for everyone. And for those who were dead, who died, sorry, those who died, they died hoping that Jesus Christ will come and resurrect them. For the us, the living, we know that even if we die, we know that the second coming, we are going home. So the second coming, like we mentioned on Tuesday, we say if at all Jesus is not coming again, then there will be no need for us to go in the temple to pray. Because, you know, even in our time, there are some people who call themselves Christians, but they don't believe in the second resurrection. You know that. They don't know second coming. They don't believe in the second coming. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back again. So then what is the point of hinging your faith in him?
Yeah.
If it means if you die, everything ends here. But we, as Seventh Day Adventists, just we believe that Jesus is coming back again. And this kind of life we are living here is temporal, is passing by. We are just people who are expecting a huge exodus from this world, going home.
Yeah.
So that is the ultimate and the cream and the crown of our faith.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that.
The second coming of Jesus.
I love that. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful parts, one of the most beautiful things in our faith, the hope that we have in the second coming of Jesus. It makes it worth it, what we go through here and now. Because like you said, if this is it, if this is where it ends, you just die and then it's just over. What's the point? There's no point to everything that we're experiencing.
True.
Why should I be a good person? Why should I care about my community and society? Why should I love? Why should I be giving? Why should I be selfless?
Yeah.
All of those things are meaningless if they just end in the grave.
In the grave. That's true. So I hope beyond the grave is what matters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Final thoughts, my pastor, on this chapter.
Okay. In a nutshell, hope is something that we... like we all normally define it under the umbrella of faith, something that we don't see, something that we don't feel, but we know that for sure is something that we can attain, is something that is attainable. Attainable in the sense that we know who we believe in, we know that God makes some promises, and for sure, he will keep his promises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God said something, we know definitely that he will keep his word. And by so saying, our hope is not void nor futile. Mm. It's something that we know will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we go through the struggles and the humiliation from people who are saying God has delayed, you mentioned that one, that God has delayed. Where is your God?
Yeah.
Your God seems to be silent. But we know our God is not silent. He is behind the scene. And sometimes he shows himself through the circumstances that we go through. So in summary, our hope is hinged in Jesus Christ, who said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. I think we can end it there. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor. God bless you. And I look forward to connecting with you again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.